particular subject that I have here for you today has to do with God's calling. I was on a little bit of a trend, I guess you'd say, for various reasons, and I was on thinking about this subject quite a bit, and as went through the LEAD program, one of the last things that was studied in the last subject that was studied, the fundamentals of belief, was about repentance. So this is akin to this, but it has to do with God's calling. And so I titled this, Consider God's Calling. You know, being called into the church of God produces a quite profound change in our life. It will, whether we have been called into it or we are called into it. But it's important to understand some of the important aspects of that calling. I have a quote here written in my notes from a doctrinal study paper. It covers the subject generically about being called, but it's also, the title of it is, Are Our Children Called? And on page 2, there's this quote, and I'll read you. God, in his plan to eventually replace Satan's rule over all the earth with his own government, God has been calling and choosing selected individuals and training them for leadership in his future kingdom. Those who remain faithful to him will receive eternal spiritual life at the return of Christ. So that's an important statement to just consider what all is considered right within that one little phrase there. There was select individuals, it says, training for leadership in the future kingdom. Those that remain faithful. So these are, this particular statement and these statements within that are profound reasons in my mind to consider and just to consider, to meditate on the fact that God has called and given us great promises. These gifts are a miracle from him to provide us the ability to enable us to fulfill his will and his purpose. And it's good for us to review these things, to meditate upon these things, but because of the times that we're going through, as we heard earlier, it's good to remember the details about this, that we should have an attitude of profound gratitude. It should be a very important part of our thinking and a great positive respect for the things that God is doing. There's in 2 Peter 1:10, we get this instruction, and I'm just going to read it from my notes here, to be even more diligent maybe during this time, during these events that are taking place at this time, to make your calling and your election sure. And then on into verse 11, it says, so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So many questions can be brought up when we get this instruction, when we get this admonition to be more diligent about our making our calling and election sure. You might say, well, how much is God involved and how much is on us? How much do we have to do? And what is the overall purpose? We might not keep in the forefront of our mind the overall purpose that God has by doing what he's doing today. And we also might consider this. Well, is this guaranteed? And we might also say, well, exactly what is he doing by doing this? But I would ask you, it's just, I give homework a lot, I guess I say, to look in the Bible study course, lesson number 7, about the calling of God and refresh your mind once again about it. But this Bible study today is intended to just direct in a general way some overall specific points about our calling. I gave a seniors Bible study a week ago Wednesday, and it had to do, there was an open Bible discussion about the very beginning of our calling, what prompted us or what motivated us or what events occurred. Well, this is a little different than that. This is this is directing a little bit in a different way towards the overall things about our calling. And I'm skipping on down to verse 12 and 13 also. The Apostle Peter said this, and I had this thought this morning, I added this in my notes so it's out of place in a way, but he had this same thought. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you of these things. This is what my thought is. I want you to consider these things because of the times that we live in, because of the situations that we encounter ourselves, because of the overall purpose that God has for us. It's important for us to consider these things because we can get distracted by what is going on. And Apostle Peter said this, yes, I think it's right as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you. So that's what my purpose is today, to stir you up by reminding you, because God is doing his work. He is gathering a people. A certain people are being prepared for Christ's return. The Greek word that's a noun that we often is used very frequently, and I didn't write down how frequent it is used, but that noun is klesis. And any of you that want to look it up, it's 28, Strong's number 2821. In the English, that means a summons, an invitation, a calling. It's a noun, so it's a subject. But we should be much more respectful of this invitation than a legal summons we would get to appear in court or something like that, or even an invitation to some wonderful event even. We might be very excited about that. But we should be very excited about what God has given us, this miracle, this blessing, something that he has singled us out and opened our mind to see this. This is something that's a profound thing, and we need to review in our mind and our heart what it is that he is doing and what it is that he has done and what the intent is. So what are some of those foundational things, the overview of the calling that God's given us, that would be good points to be reminded about or to consider, to meditate on, to consider under these circumstances that we find ourselves in, that have to do with what is called a miracle, a calling of God? So the first thing that I've got here for us to consider is this, is to remember the source. To never forget the source. Hebrews 3:1 says this, it calls us holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So it's from God. I've seen the scripture used frequently here lately about 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'm not going to go there. But you read verse 9 through verse 14, and it says, it's a miracle. We can't completely understand this without God's Spirit, without his help, without his intervening in our life. He has intervened in our life. We need to understand that. Because without that Spirit, without him doing that, without him giving us this understanding, we wouldn't be able to understand it. God's Spirit works with us until at some time God's Spirit is placed in us to seal that promise, to make that agreement with us that we are at that point chosen. We are elected to go forward. But there's still more to do. Let's look in Ephesians. I have you go with me, if you will, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll get a little more into Bible study here. I have it all marked out, but it's still a little tough to turn there. Ephesians 1, in beginning in verse 3, let's look at the context here of how this is said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing of the heavenly in Christ. And skipping on down to verse 7, I want to start in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, talking about Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of His grace, which He made abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made to us, known to us, as I said, referred to that scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He proposed in Himself. And skipping on down to verse 15 also, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith, Apostle Paul talking about to the Ephesians, in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So it's something that has been given by the Father to us, and which are the riches, excuse me, I skipped the verse there, in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So it's something that we have should see great value to. We should see this as a very important thing. And continuing in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seating Him at the right hand of the heavenly places. And it is very explicit here about Christ's position, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. He is our Lord and Master. He is the head of the church, His body. But in John 6:65, it mentions to us, it's the Father that calls. We cannot come to Christ except through that calling from the Father, a gift of God. We are not anything special. Many of the people that God has used in the past are that is pointed out about them. There are some few that have been used in the past that are great scholars, great, profound individuals, in many ways accomplished individuals, maybe some few that are rich and famous, but majority of us are not like that. There's a scripture in Acts 4:13 I'd like to read to you, just one brief scripture I'm going to pull out here, Acts 4:13, and it says, there was Peter and John were preaching in the temple, and the religious authorities who had imprisoned them before, and now they were out of prison, didn't know what to do with them really. But anyway, there was four in verse 4 and in chapter 4 in verse 13, it says, and when he saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. But they realized they'd been with Jesus. So the point I'm trying to make is this. They were not without knowledge and understanding, and neither are we. And many times we could be intimidated by academics, but we shouldn't be. We have God's word of truth. We have God's spirit working within us. We have the knowledge and the understanding about His plan. We know things as it says. Blessed are our eyes for they see, and our ears, for they hear. We know things that many scholars would like to know. It's an act of faith for us to continue in the knowledge of these things that we've been given, a blessing from God, a gift from God, to prepare a people for the coming of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says a few things about what we're to do. We're not to stay where we are, where we were, where we are. We have to go on beyond that. But God enables us to rise above that. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, it says, as I said earlier, for you see your calling, brethren, and not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that were mighty, and the base things of the world that the things which are, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. If every great and mighty scholar of this world were to be called into the church, they would just be strutting around as if they did it all themselves. So it's important to remember this. It's very important to remember the source. To remember the source of our calling. The source of our calling is our Father in heaven, who gave us to Christ to be over us, to lead us and direct us in his work that is being done. The next thing we need to do then, once we understand this great purpose that we've been given, is to never forget that purpose. To never forget why we've been called. Once we understand the source, we can't forget the purpose, because the purpose is a key element to keep that in our mind. Let's look in 1 John 3. There's a couple scriptures there. I want you to consider this. How much do you pursue any goal or endeavor if you don't have a purpose? It's hard to understand things without understanding the purpose for them. It's hard to be dedicated and determined in doing things without understanding the purpose for doing it. I would liken it this way to a trip. You can make a plan. You can say, I'm going to go to San Diego. You can make a good plan. So your goal or objective is to go to San Diego. You can figure out the best way to go. You can do everything that needs to be done. You can check your car. You can get ready to go. But would you just go and do a trip like that and have no reason to go to San Diego? Maybe. I don't know. But let me put it this way. It's much more, you understand things much better. You do things much more effectively. If you understand the purpose, we are more motivated when we understand the purpose. So that's the point I'm trying to get across. And I ask you to turn to 1 John 3 and to understand this. This is one of the basic principles of the purpose that God has. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, we now are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that we see him. When we see, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And here's the point. Everyone who has this hope in him, a purpose, purifies himself just as he is pure. So it's very important, because of this purpose, there's things that we must do. There's things that we must attend to. There's attitudes of mind that we should have. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this. We're holy, it says. We're set apart as a special people. If I'd get in 1 Timothy instead of 2 Timothy, it would help. 1 Timothy 6:12. I'm going to read this one scripture here. This is the purpose. Because of this, we have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called. We have to keep that ever in our mind, that we have, to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. None of us are baptized alone. We're baptized by a minister. And usually there's a number of people around. But if nothing else, we're baptized in the witness of God the Father and the holy angels, who rejoice, it says, about any person that's baptized and comes into the knowledge of the truth and now has this hope within them about the future and about the work that God's doing. From one end of the other of God's word, it talks about his purpose for all of mankind. But it talks about a special people being called just at the end of the age, just before Christ's return. It talks about a people that have been given as a gift, special understanding about the future to come, a people that are willing to be prepared, that are willing to do these things. They're willing to fight the good fight of faith, it said there in 1 Timothy. They're willing to set aside some of the things of their own life to spend more time specifically on this purpose. And it's important that we understand that we're consecrated, set aside for a purpose, and it's of God. It is for the future that he is doing. And let's look on over in 2 Timothy also. There's this another one in 2 Timothy I'd like to look at and read. Mr. Tuck gave me a little leeway on the time here, so I see it's 4 minutes past our normal quitting time of 12:30, but I got a little more to go here, so I'm going to continue on. So don't get anxious about it. I got permission. So let's look here and, if I can find my play, there it is. 2 Timothy 1:6. In 2 Timothy 1:6, it says here again, this is Epistle Paul, it says, to Timothy, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, Apostle Paul said to him. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And there's going to be more and more times when we're going to stand out like a sore thumb. And we have to realize that. Nor of me, his prisoner. Here's Paul in jail. That doesn't seem like some place that some successful person should be. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us. He saved us from continuing in our misery or doing the things that will get us in trouble, but not and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. We didn't do much about this, but according to his own purpose and grace. He's very merciful, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. In other words, it was planned a long time ago. It isn't that we individually were, this was planned for us. We don't have any eternal existence as a spirit. We came into, we were created and we were given life and breath. We were given that human spirit. We have this life now and been, God is working with us now. But it's the plan was there before the world began, it says. This was God's intent forever. It's the work that he is doing, that God is doing. And so we need to consider that. And one of the things that's very important, not just the fact that we understand the source of our calling. Not that we just understand the purpose of our calling, but we also have to understand the sacrifices that have been made for us and that are being made for us. The work that is done to help us, the work that is done to serve us and to help us to be enabled to do what needs to be done. And we have to remember, of course, that sacrifice of Christ. You can look up in Romans 5:8 and remind yourself of that. But let's go to 1 Peter 2:19, and there's a couple scriptures that I want to read there. God wants us to inherit the blessings. He wants us to fulfill the purpose of our calling. And he is going to continue to work with us to fulfill that plan. And in 1 Peter 2, in 19, it talks a little bit about the difficulties, the sacrifices not only that have been made, but the sacrifices that need to be made. In 2:19, for this is commendable because of conscience towards God, that one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. At times that happens. For what credit is it if you were beaten for your own faults, if you take it patiently? That's what we get for doing the things that are wrong. Along comes trouble. But when you do good and suffer, and we do on occasions, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. And sometimes that might seem like a tough thing. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. It's very important that we see how profound that statement is there. And let's skip on over to chapter 3 also, and in 8 and 9. And it gives us some instructions about how to function day by day. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but be on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you might inherit a blessing. So we have a standard that we have to keep. We have goals and directions that we have to maintain in our mind. Because of the source of our calling, because of the purpose of our calling, because of the sacrifices that have been made. Without that sacrifice of Christ's blood, we have no relationship with God the Father. We have no hope of eternal life. That's just the way that it is. We have to eventually come to the point to where we accept that sacrifice and realize and recognize that this is God's creation. There are some things that are being corrected within his creation. There are some things that we have been caught up in at times that need to be straightened out, not only in our lives, but for the future, many other people's lives. So it's important that we remember that we're asked to lay down our life, just like Christ offered himself, he laid down his life. It's something for us to consider. Like I said, to consider our calling, to meditate on these things. You know, in Hebrews 11 and 12, it talks about all of those that have went before us. Abraham, the father of the faithful. What he went through. And the list is long. So go to Hebrews 11 and read those again. Countless workers have gone before us. In Hebrews 12, let me read this one scripture here. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, it gives us some admonition. Hebrews 12, 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race it is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, or my margin says originator, And finisher, and it says perfecter in my margin, of faith, who for the glory that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, as we read earlier. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. That's why I want to remind you about these things this day. That's why we should always remember the source of our calling. That's why we should remember the great purpose that is in our calling. And that's why we can never forget the sacrifices that have been made in our behalf already. The around can weaken us if we let it. If we don't consider these things, if we don't think about these things, if we don't meditate on these things. So one of the next things is to remember to kind of anchor it all as this. Always remember that God is faithful. God is faithful. And he asks us to be like him. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. If he has started a work in us, if we accept the fact, the source of that calling, if we accept the fact that there's a purpose to it, a great and grand purpose, if we understand the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf, if we comprehend these things, that calling is irrevocable. 1 Corinthians 1:9, it explains the way God is. God is. God is love. But God is also faithful. That's one of his characteristics. God is faithful in all things. What he starts, he finishes. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. We didn't have a relationship with him. We didn't have a relationship with Christ that was a valid relationship until that occurred. It's important for us to know that. And I want to skip back into verse 2 and just to reiterate something here a little more. And this is Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians and said, to the church of God, and that's a statement in itself, which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified or set apart, it says, by in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all in every place, with all who in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus or his shed blood, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also shall confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important to constantly remember that. If we've accepted this relationship, this covenant, it's for life. You know, the Passover itself is about God keeping his word. It's about Jesus Christ's sacrifice to enable us, to enable all of the world eventually to have that covenant. And he's faithful to us in all things. There's a scripture in closing that I want to read. It's a power scripture, and I don't know. Every time I read this, I say, I shouldn't read it. It's so powerful. It's so positive. It's so enlightening that I feel like I don't want to misuse it. I don't want to use it too often. I don't want to say it too much. But it's so much that you have to say it at times. So Romans 8, and I'm you can read all of Romans 8 as far as that goes, but I'm just going to read the very beginning, the very ending of it here. Romans 8, beginning in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? These things that I've brought to you today. The source of our calling, the purpose of our calling, the sacrifices that have been made, and the fact that God never quits on his project, and he won't quit on our project with us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It's written, for your sakes, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are powerful words. They should encourage us. They should help us to remember these things and consider the calling of God, to remember the source and to never forget the purpose, and to remember the sacrifices that have been made, and to remember God is faithful. So that's all I have. That wasn't that long. Thank you for coming and staying. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of the Sabbath day.